Well, it is good to know that things can move forward when you're out sick, and that just happens to the best of us at times. Tonight, if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, we're going to be looking in a moment in a New Testament letter. But before you turn there, I want to ask you, do you know your memory verse for this week? The memory verse from last week was on the bulletin last week, and we really want to really start emphasizing our memory verses as a faith family. And last week we began with Galatians 2:20. And some of you know that verse. I know you do. Some of you know Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And if you don't know it, it's okay. You can flip to it and find it in the New Testament. In the book of Galatians, chapter 2 and verse 20, remember Gentiles eat pork chops? And so you can find exactly where Galatians fits in there in the scheme of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. But the Apostle Paul says to us that I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, right? It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This verse tonight that we will consider together for our time in the Word. I have a whole sermon plan that was going to be Sunday morning, Sunday night. We're actually going to do that one on September the 8th. We'll start our young preachers in training on September 15th, that Sunday night. Let them start bringing the Word to us on Sunday nights. We'll be returning to the book of Genesis, Lord willing, on September the 15th. We'll be picking up in Genesis chapter 8. We also have the University of Mobile women's vocal group, I think, So Free, coming on September the 8th, that Sunday evening, to be with us to sing a number of songs for us on September the 8th. So these are some things that are coming up soon for us here at Crawford Baptist Church. But tonight, if you need a Bible, then please open it to Galatians 2, because as I have been reflecting on this verse, it has really encouraged me. In the reading of our Christian biographies that we have been attempting as the Robertson family of four, as you know, I have a wife, and her age is confidential. My son is 10, my daughter is 9. And they have all been mighty blessed, as we have read. I know last night, Mary Grace, bless her heart, said, can we read, start a new one tonight? And we just said, no, I just can't do it tonight. I just, not with what I got. I'm not Jim Elliot, and I'm not William Carey. I'm not that tough. Or Nate Saint, or Amy Carmichael, who was bedridden for like 20-some plus years. I'm not as tough as they were. But we will start another one, Lord willing, this week. But I do want to say to you, as I've reflected on just this verse, man, the Lord can show you a lot out of one verse. You know, Dr. John MacArthur's kind of theme is, you know, unleashing God's Word one verse at a time. And he normally spends about a message on one verse. And there's a lot in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I remember one time we were in Israel, and there was one preacher that was on the tour with us there in Israel. He was kin to one of the professors, actually, that had gone from Mid-America Seminary on this tour of Israel, the Holy Land, with us. And I remember he did a devotion on Galatians 2:20 in Israel. But I remember this preacher saying, I have never really been able to say this verse and own this verse, because I can never live up to what this verse says. Now, when I was working on a PhD, when this took place in the late 1990s, that just struck me, number one. And then as I go back and study Galatians 2:20, you know, I see that it's the life of Christ in me. It's nothing that you and I can do in and on our own power. Amen? We can't do that. And so tonight I want us just to focus, before we have our Sunday evening reception and fellowship tonight, as we've mentioned, Brother Delton and Miss Alexis will be heading off to ministry in other areas. Also, Brother and Sister Champion are heading off to ministry in other areas as well. And are y'all moving to Georgia or Florida? Georgia, all right. I was right and the others were wrong, all right. Because I thought it was Georgia, but I wasn't sure. They almost had me talked into Florida. But they're moving off to be with their family and children and grandchildren, those kind of things. And so we have some transition happening here. But God is good, amen? And tonight I want you to be encouraged. Because whatever you're facing, and this week we have faced a lot. This week I have met 33 new students in Introduction to Christian Worldview on Mondays and Wednesdays at 8 o'clock. And some of them know the Lord and some of them don't. And then I meet at 9:30 on Mondays and Wednesdays, I meet about 15 students in Systematic Theology 1. And I hope they all know the Lord, because that's a major's class. Amen. And they're the future pastors and Christian workers and leaders in our churches and our denomination. And on Tuesday, Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, I have met, about 20 that are in my Mission and Message of Jesus class. Some of them in that class may not know the Lord. Some of them I feel like do. Some of them you don't know. But in all of these classes, I get to teach and proclaim the gospel day in and day out to these students. That's our mission at the University of Mobile in the School of Christian Studies. But that's a weight. Just like serving as a shepherd is a weight. It's a good weight. But it's a weight. And you know what I mean. If you are a community group teacher, Sunday school teacher, you serve the RAs, mission friends, GAs, and you love those girls, you love those boys, you love those kids, you love those that adult group that you have, then you understand the weightiness in this. And we need encouragement tonight. From Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. In Galatians, as an epistle, a letter that is teaching us, the Apostle Paul here is really writing a defense of the true biblical gospel, which we had expounded for us the last two weekends with Brother Ed Lacey in an intense way. 12 sessions all together over those two weekends. And many of you were able to be at all or most of those sessions. And if you weren't, they're online. You can go back to CrawfordBaptist.net and you can see those sessions. And I encourage you to do so. And if you don't have the workbook, I encourage you to pick up the workbook. He left us some workbooks that we can get to you, so you can go in and fill in blanks and have that as something that you can then teach others. And as I mentioned, what a great resource for parents to take their children through at that right age and help them understand the biblical gospel in a very clear, powerful way. But tonight, let's be encouraged in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, right? And so if you don't know it now, hopefully by the end of in the next 15 or 20 minutes, you'll know it, all right? But the Apostle Paul, in this defense of the biblical gospel and the doctrine of justification by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, we see him say, I have been crucified with Christ. Now, what I really, as I was thinking about this afternoon, and Pam is saying, are you going to be able to stand up? And I said, yes, I have a pulpit I can hold on to. And so I can stand up. But as I was thinking through this, as you look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, what are some key things that jump out at you? What are some key things? Just look through the verse, black ink on white paper, on the screen if you must. Run it through your mind if you have it memorized. But what are some things that jump out as significant to you? One of the callings that we have as pastor, teachers, elders in a Bible church is to train and equip the saints for the work of ministry. And one of the big goals that we ought to have is to teach you how to study the Word of God for yourself, as you pray and you prayerfully read, and as you seek the Holy Spirit who lives within you to enable you to see things and to identify truth and to learn how to use resources and tools that are available to us so we can go deeper in the Word of God. This is a part of the calling of the pastor teacher. It's not simply to razzle dazzle you with 3 points and a poem and finish on time every time. We know that doesn't happen. But it's to teach us how to study the Word of God. My children this morning, as Miss Pam had gone to check on Miss Christie and their family at the hospital, and I mustered up strength, and I was working on Galatians 2:20 with my two children. And they're saying, "But that verse is so long." And I said, you know, you can memorize Galatians 2:20 in less time than it takes you to watch one video or one show on the computer or on the television. It's all about your heart. Where's your heart? See, if your heart's desiring God, and if your heart is longing to know God and His Word, then memorizing Galatians 2:20 is not a hard thing to do. Amen? It's not. And it's such a life-changing verse. But what are some things you see as you read Galatians chapter 2, verse 20? Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ." Now, is that future tense, present tense, or past tense? Past tense, all right? So Paul here is saying, "I have something that took place in time. It is already past. I have been crucified with Christ." And so we see here that conversion then changes the desires that you and I have. Because if we have truly been identified with Jesus in His death on the cross of Calvary, which we sang about tonight, if we have union with Christ, we have union with Christ in His death, in His burial, and in His resurrection. Amen. And so that means that I am not the same Jay that existed before that September when I was in the 8th grade at the citywide crusade, when I heard the gospel and understood the gospel for the first time. Because when biblical conversion takes place, there is a change within the heart and the mind of the individual. And we have seen that expounded very clearly in 12 sessions the last two weekends by Brother Ed Lacey. That no one ever meets Jesus in the saving way and stays the same. We are all transformed by the grace of God. Now, we bear fruit 30, 60-fold, some 100-fold. Oftentimes, we may trip, we may stumble, we may drift away. But we will always persevere if we are truly saved. Our own Baptist Faith and Message 2000, the Baptist London Confession 1689, off of which the BFM 2000 kind of originally got some of its original meat. Those historic confessions, New Hampshire Confession of Faith 1833, Philadelphia Confession of Faith 1707, these historic Baptist confessions have always said that we will truly persevere in Christ if we have been redeemed by Christ. You say, you know, I didn't even know that we were a confessional people. Well, of course we are. All true churches are confessional people. You confess something, you believe something. I mean, you know what we believe by what we sing. What we sing ought to correspond to what we believe. And so therefore we need to be careful in what we select to sing, because it's to be an accurate reflection of the theology of how we interpret the Word of God. And our people do a good job here with that. We don't want to just sing feel-good, fluffy stuff that won't move you in any way at the ICU unit. Or as Mr. Manley, when I saw him Tuesday afternoon, 63 years of marriage, wife unconscious. I mean, you know, feel good, fluff your pillow kind of Christianity just doesn't work well in the hospice home or the intensive care unit or any difficult situation. You see, we have a God and we have a theology in that God. That is just what we know about this awesome God. He's not going to leave us or forsake us. And we know too, that when God begins the good work in us, whether you knew we were confessional people or not, you got Philippians 1:6, which I say a lot because I say it to me a lot. I need to hear it a lot. That he who has begun the good work in me will continue to perform that good work unto the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. So when he starts the good work, he doesn't slack off. He doesn't stop. He continues that good work. And I thank God for that. So Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. And he says this in the next little sentence there. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So you see, biblical conversion changes our very hearts. And the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. It's exactly what I need. I need heart surgery. You need heart surgery. Some of us in this room have had heart surgery. Troy and I call it the zipper club. Amen? That's what we call it. And, you know, we've. But here's the deal. Every human being on planet Earth needs Holy Spirit heart surgery. Our people group of the day, and we've been stuck in Pakistan now for weeks, it seems. All these lost people groups in the nation, the geopolitical nation of Pakistan. Just hundreds of thousands of lost people groups. Some of them, you know, millions. Some of them just hundreds of thousands. Still lots of people in spiritual darkness. And what they need is for the Holy Spirit of God to get a hold of them and to take out those eyes that are blind to the glory of Christ. They need the Holy Spirit to take out the heart of stone and put in the heart of flesh. They need a new heart, new desires, a new love for Christ. And Paul is just testifying, hey, I've had that happen. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. Biblical conversion changes our very hearts. Biblical conversion gives us a new passion for life. We see that in that text, do we not? Because he's no longer saying it's my self-centered desires that are driving me. Think about Paul, while he was still called Saul, his Hebrew name. In Philippians 3, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. You know, he was keeping all the law in his own eyes and all these things. He was checking all the boxes. Man, I am so good. You need to put. I'm the poster child for biblical Judaism. And so it was all about God, but really it was all about him because he was just honoring God so well. Then he was crushed on the road to Damascus. His pride was obliterated when he came to realize there was nothing he could do to earn his salvation, and that every good thing he had done was done for the wrong motive, and therefore it was sin in the eyes of God. We have to do the right thing, the right way, for the right motive, for it to truly be righteous in the eyes of God. And apart from God's grace within us, none of us can do any of that. So he says, I have been crucified with Christ. The old Saul, as it were, is dead. He's gone. I have now new desires, a new passion, a new goal in life, because it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And can you testify to that tonight? Being a member of Crawford Baptist Church, I think we had four that were at our membership class today for our lunch and our Q&A time and all of that, and that's wonderful. And I praise the Lord for these new members. Thank God for you. But you know what? Being a member of any church, humanly speaking, does not equal the kingdom of God. Being born again by the grace of God, that's how we enter into the kingdom of God. You can't even, John 3:3, see the kingdom of God unless you've been born again. John chapter 3 and verse 3 says, by the lips of Jesus himself. And so biblical conversion, it changes our very hearts. Biblical conversion gives us new drives, new desires, new passions. And notice the second part of the verse. Oh, this verse is so long. They had it memorized in 12 minutes. It's just getting them off Madden football and Minecraft and other things that are simply passing away onto the eternal Word of God. And their little minds soak it up. And Lord willing, that's what they're doing over in Kids 78 tonight. They're soaking in the Scripture. They're going deep in the truths about who God is as they're learning the attributes of God in this brand new kickoff to Kids 78 ministry tonight. But notice quickly here, Paul says, and the life I now live in the flesh. Now, flesh, you got to be careful with the word flesh, sarx in the Greek. Because flesh can mean fleshly nature, and we all still got one. Oh yeah, we do. But in this context, flesh is not talking about that sinful, selfish nature that's within all of us. It's talking about what Adrian Rogers used to call our earth suit. Our physical body. You see, Paul says, and the life I now live in my earthly body, in the flesh, how am I going to live that as a Christian? And the life which I now live, the life that I now live in the flesh, my earthly body, I live by faith in the Son of God. And that's huge because, in other words, moment by moment, that's how we have to live. And I'm working on this, y'all. I don't have this all figured out, and I'm not the perfect example of this. In fact, I would run from anybody who said they were. Amen? Because we all struggle. Read Romans 7. But Paul is saying that the aim of my, since biblical conversion has taken place, I'm no longer the same guy. It's not about me. It's not about my way or the highway. It's not all about Saul. It's not all about Paul. In fact, it's now about Jesus. I have a new desire. I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to be whipped, beaten, shipwrecked, imprisoned, falsely maligned, falsely accused, bitterly antagonized against. I mean, people beat me up, throw rocks at me, and I get back up and I keep going. I don't quit. I don't retire early. I keep going. I'm better than a Timex, right? Keep a licking and keep on ticking. That's 1960s, wasn't it? Paul is saying that, man, I keep on going. But he says the way that I do it is by moment trust in the person of the Son of God. That's Jesus Christ. And let me ask you, how do we do that? How can you do that tomorrow when something just wallops you out of the blue that you had not expected? How do you do that? Here's what I told my kids today. I told Daniel, Paul, and Mary Grace, you know, Paul says, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. And I reminded them of a verse they've learned in Awana years back. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes through hearing, and hearing through literally the word of Christ. It's talking about the Bible, the word of God. And so I said, you see, that's why it's important you learn these scriptures. It's because when you learn these scriptures, God is building your ability to trust Him in whatever comes at you. Because there will be a day when they say, hey, Mr. Robertson, you know, it'd take 15 stents. You're going to have bypass surgery. There'll be a day when they say, no, you have an aneurysm on your brain or in your heart, and it's inoperable. There'll be a day when you get the phone call, and this has happened to someone whom you care about very much. There'll be a day when there'll be a struggle, there'll be a challenge, there'll be this, there'll be a that. And so what are we going to do then? And Paul here is saying, hey, I live this life in my earth suit, but I do so moment by moment in abiding in Christ, looking to Christ, knowing that every promise of God finds its yes in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Every promise is yes in Christ. And so, you see, truly converted people, we're not the same old person we used to be. Now we're a new creation in Christ. Reminds you of 2 Corinthians 5:17, doesn't it? And then the key for you and me is that the Christ who is within us enables us to learn the Scripture and to have our faith strengthened as we learn those Scripture. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. And God has demonstrated His own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. But God, ESV version, but God shows His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, the Son of God, Jesus, has loved. And notice what Paul said. He loved me. Maybe you were singing one of our songs tonight and you noticed some personal pronouns in there, that on the cross he died for me. And you're thinking, you know, when he was on the cross, was I really on his mind? Well, he's omniscient. So that way he knows all of those who are going to believe in him. In fact, he knows every human being on planet Earth has ever lived anyway, because he's omniscient. But notice the pronouns in Galatians 2:20. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved us. Notice here, Paul was able to say, who loved me and gave himself for me. First person. Let that sink in. And when you hit a speed bump this week, or maybe you're driving down the road and you go into one of those big old washed out, you know, pothole things there, whatever it is, and there's some around town that can knock your alignment out. When you find yourself in the pit, if you know Galatians 2:20, you can begin to think through these truths, and it can cause you to look to Jesus even in that difficult situation. Because the last thing I want to do at Crawford Baptist Church is suggest to you that when you get saved, it'll be all honey and no bees, no work and all ease. The prosperity gospel is smitten Africa today. Brother Lacey said it himself in a few of the sessions. You know, most of what we've exported from American Christianity overseas has been unbiblical. Brothers and sisters, we are going to suffer. If we're going to fellowship with Him, we're also going to what? Suffer with Him. I'm just being real.
just being real.
You see, a lot of times, and I'm praying about preaching Mark 4 real soon. I may do it next Sunday. We'll see. I'm lining those up for next weekend. The mystery of evangelism. The sower is the same. The seed is the same. But the soil are different. There are a lot of interpretations on those. I understand that. I've been reading J.C. Ryle this week. Great English preacher. Man, he's got some good stuff. But most scholars will tell you, most of them are in agreement, that out of four soils, there's only one truly converted heart. And that's the heart with the good soil. And the only way to have a heart with good soil is to have the grace of God change that wicked heart that I had before he got to me. Then I have the heart that's ready and willing to respond in repentance and faith in Jesus as the gospel's proclaimed. And so tonight, let's say this verse as we close out tonight. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Can y'all say it with me? Why don't you stand up? Go ahead and stand up. We're going to sing a response tonight. We're going to worship. And tonight, if you're here and you need to respond in some way to God's grace, come for prayer or any other reason, I'll be here and other pastors will be up close here. But let's just say this. If you need to look at the screen, that's fine. It's okay. But let's worry. Hey, this week's verse is even easier. It's not as long as this one. This week is John 14, 6. And brothers and sisters, we need to know that one. This is important, but John 14, 6 is important too. But let's do Galatians 2:20. Can we say it together on three? Ready? 1, 2, 3. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live by faith in the... Amen. I love hearing you sing in this place. And one thing that we're going to commit to you to doing more is going over our memory verse in our worship gathering on Sunday morning. We've had the memory verse in there for a year and a half. But we're going to make sure every Sunday at some point we go over that verse for the week with everybody that's here. So next week, John 14, 6 is the one due. But Galatians 2, 20 is powerful. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.